It on his wrist. Like a trained hunting bird, it clung there, but it wore no broken leash, no band or bell. The claws dug hard in Ogion's wrist, and the barred wings trembled. The round gold eye was dull and wild.
"Are you messenger or message?" Ogion said gently to the hawk. "Come on with me."
As he spoke, the hawk looked at him. Ogion was silent a minute.
"I named you once, I think," he said, and then strode to his house and entered, bearing the bird still on his wrist.
He made the hawk stand on the hearth in the fire's heat and offered it water. It would not drink. Then Ogion began to lay a spell, very quietly, weaving the web of magic with his hands more than with words. And when the spell was whole and woven, he said softly,
"Ged,"
not looking at the falcon on the hearth. He waited some while, and then turned, and got up, and went to the young man, who stood trembling and dull-eyed before the fire. Ged was richly and outlandishly dressed in fur and silk and silver, but the clothes were torn and stiff with sea salt, and he stood, gaunt and stooped, his hair lank about his scarred face. Ogion took the soiled princely cloak off his shoulders, led him to the alcove room where his prentice once had slept, and made him lie down on the pallet there, and so, with a murmured sleep charm, left him. He had said no word to him, knowing that Ged had no human speech in him now.
As a boy, Ogion, like all boys, had thought it would be a very pleasant game to take by art magic whatever shape one liked, man or beast, tree or cloud, and so to play at a thousand beings. But as a wizard, he had learned the price of the game, which is the peril of losing oneself, playing away the truth. The longer a man stays in a form not his own, the greater this peril. Every prentice sorcerer learns the tale of the wizard Borger of Way, who delighted in taking bear's shape and did so more and more often until the bear grew in him and the man died away and he became a bear and killed his own little son in the forests and was hunted down and slain. And no one knows how many of the dolphins that leap in the waters of the inmost sea were men once, wise men who forgot their wisdom and their name in the joy of the restless sea. Ged had taken hawk shape in fierce distress and rage, and when he flew from Oskil there had been but one thought in his mind, to outfly both stone and shadow, to escape the cold, treacherous lands, to go home. The falcon's anger and wildness were like his own, and had become his own, and his will to fly had become the falcon's will. And thus he had passed over Enlad, stooping down to drink at a lonely forest pool, but on the wing again at once, driven by fear of the shadow that came behind him. So he had crossed the great sea lane called the Jaws of Enlad, and gone on and on, east by south, the hills of Oranea faint to his right, and the hills of Andrad fainter to his left, and before him only the sea, until at last ahead there rose up out of the waves one unchanging wave, towering always higher, the white peak of Gaunt. In all the sunlight and the dark of that great flight, he had worn the falcon's wings and looked through the falcon's eyes, and forgetting his own thoughts, he had known at last only what the falcon knows. Hunger, the wind, the way he flies. He flew to the right haven. There were few on Roke and only one on Gaunt who could have made him back into a man. He was savage and silent when he woke. Ogion never spoke to him, but gave him meat and water and let him sit hunched by the fire, grim as a great, weary, sulking hawk. And when night came, he slept, and on the third morning he came into the fireside where the mage sat gazing at the flames and said, "Master." "Welcome, lad," said Ogion. "I have come back to you as I left, a fool," his voice harsh and thickened.
The mage smiled a little and motioned Ged to sit across the hearth from him and set to brewing them some tea. Snow was falling, the first of the winter here on the lower slopes of Gaunt. Ogion's windows were shuttered fast, but they could hear the wet snow as it fell soft on the roof and the deep stillness of snow all about the house. A long time they sat there by the fire, and Ged told his old master the tale of the years since he had sailed from Gaunt aboard the ship called Shadow. Ogeon asked no questions, and when Ged was done he kept silent for a long time, calm, pondering. And then he rose and set out bread and cheese and wine on the table, and they ate together. When they had done and had set the room straight, Ogeon spoke.
"Those are bitter scars you bear, lad. I have no strength against the thing."
Ogeon shook his head but said no more for a time. At length,
"Strange," he said. "You had strength enough to outspell a sorcerer in his own domain there in Oskil. You had strength enough to withstand the lures and fend off the attack of the servants of an old power of earth. And at Pendor, you had strength enough to stand up to a dragon. It was luck I had in Oskil, not strength," Ged replied, and he shivered again as he thought of the dreamlike deathly cold of the court of the Terranon. "As for the dragon, I knew his name. The evil thing, the shadow that hunts me, has no name."
"All things have a name," said Ogeon, so certainly that Ged dared not repeat what the archmage Genscher had told him, that such evil forces as he had loosed were nameless. The dragon of Pendor, indeed, had offered to tell him the shadow's name, but he put little trust in the truth of that offer, nor did he believe Sereth's promise that the stone would tell him what he needed to know.
If the shadow has a name," he said at last, "I do not think it will stop and tell it to me."
"No," said Ogeon, "nor have you stopped and told it your name. And yet it knew it. On the moors in Oskil, it called you by your name, the name I gave you. It is strange, strange." He fell to brooding again. At last Ged said, I came here for counsel, not for refuge, master. I will not bring this shadow upon you, and it will soon be here if I stay. Once you drove it from this very room."
No, that was but the foreboding of it. The shadow of a shadow, I could not drive it forth now. Only you could do that.
But I am powerless before it. Is there any place?" His voice died away before he had asked the question.
"There is no safe place," Ogeon said gently. "Do not transform yourself again, Ged. The shadow seeks to destroy your true being, and it nearly did so, driving you into hawk's being.